Well, the Angels used up all of their goodwill that they built up last week and get swept by the Marlins this weekend. So what went wrong and what happens next? It's time to get Locked On with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now on SiriusXM by searching Locked On Angels. And the best way to help us out is by giving us a rate and a review. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed and click the bell to be notified every time a new episode drops. And today's show is brought to you by eBay Motors. A championship team is about each player being a perfect fit. And the same with your vehicle. So for parts that fit, head to eBay Motors and look for the green check. Stay in the game with the eBay Guarantee Fit, ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guarantee Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Thank you for being here for this episode of Locked On Angels, where it's your team every day. You've got the Fridge Brothers here with you, a.k.a. the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Mike, you and I have been fans of this team for years. It's our second season here at Locked On Angels, and so we're happy to talk Angels baseball Monday through Friday here on Locked On Angels. Hey, Locked On Everydayers, those of you who join us every single day, join us each day this week as we recap the next series against the Chicago White Sox. They're headed to the south side of Chicago, Mike, so we'll see them out there. On today's show, we're recapping the weekend series against the Marlins. A very disappointing weekend as the Angels were swept, and there were issues that seemed to plague this team in each game. So we're going to take each game segment by segment. Let's start with Friday's game, Mike, in segment one.
All right, so the Angels lose on Friday 6-2, and I'm a huge Reed Detmers fan. Johnny, you know that. Listeners and viewers know that. And he started this game, but it just feels like he's regressed a bit, especially from his last start. There was a lot of, there wasn't a lot of swings and misses. There was a lot of contact. And he struggled the third time through the order, which has been the issue for Reed this year and even last year. Five innings pitched, 10 hits, John, which a lot of contact against him. Three walks, three runs, five Ks. Now, he's been striking out a lot of guys, but this time he doesn't. What really was the issue for him in throwing a lot of pitches was that people were getting hits off of him. And he left in the sixth inning without getting an out. And then Jacob Webb comes in, John. And I was really impressed with Webb in this moment. Bases loaded, nobody out. And he gets out of the inning. He gets two ground balls. And he strikes a guy out. Now, I know in the next inning, he did give up a two-run home run. But he did look good. And he is kind of working his way, feeling his way through what his role is in this bullpen. Johnny, I guess the question I would have for you is Webb who we want in this bullpen? Do you think he's a guy that can really contribute over the next few weeks and months?
I don't think we have a choice at this point. I mean, there's so many injuries up and down this roster, Mike, especially in the bullpen. Look, you've already got Quijada on the IL. You've got Austin Warren on the IL.
Yep.
You've lost Ryan Tepera. You've DFA'd him, right? You've got some guys on the 40-man like Jose Marte, Chris Rodriguez, who doesn't have a timeline. There's just a ton of guys that are on this 40-man roster who would be up instead. But Jacob Webb is somebody who's got, you know, major league experience, albeit it's not a lot, but it's somebody who's been there before, right? And they're using these guys that they have. That's why you see so many of these young guys being called up to help out and reinforce this bullpen. Yes, they're great options and we're excited to see them, but they're not exactly the first ones on the list that we'd be calling up in this situation, especially because they're not on the 40-man. You think about, obviously, Ben Joyce. We'll talk about that later on. But there is a lot of options that the Angels could have and should have, but don't, either because of injury or because they flat out got tired of Ryan Tepera being Tepera-able, right?
Yeah.
I screwed that one up. But all of that to say,
no, we got you.
they've gone through all of their options at this point. And so that's why you have to roll with somebody like Webb. And look, he came in and did a great job. And then he went out there for another inning. And that was an issue all weekend long, Mike, was Phil Nevin trying to stretch these guys to more than one inning. And I completely disagree with that. I understand that he probably felt like he was up a creek without a paddle in this weekend series in terms of the bullpen. But man, it was so frustrating to see him make some of the decisions that he's made. And you and I have been soft on Phil Nevin because, of course, we found out that Perry Manassian was kind of pulling the strings in the first month of the season, and Phil Nevin wasn't really making his own decisions. He was being told what to do. And then since he's had a little bit more free reign, we've seen some better decision-making, but we've still seen a lot of head scratchers and frustrating decisions. And this weekend, I think, was full of them. Now, as I talk about the young guys who are coming up, Sam Bachman made his MLB debut, Mike, and he was certainly somebody who's highly anticipated. Of course, we drafted him as a starter, and he's going to be pitching out of the bullpen kind of in the same way Chase Silseth has been doing. I know they gave Silseth a start this past week or two ago, and he also started last season. But I think they're giving these guys some really interesting choices, or I should say they're giving these guys some really interesting moments to pitch in. And so here's what Sam Bachman did. He struck out the first batter. He gave up a single to the second batter. He walked the next batter. He got a strikeout on the next batter, which was Jorge Soler,
a hit,
and an RBI to Luis Arraez. Of course, Arraez is going to get a hit because his batting average is like 1,000 right now.
Yeah.
And he K's the last batter, and he was sitting about 86 to 98 miles per hour on his pitches, on his repertoire. 13 balls, 13 strikes, first innings pitched. And I thought, hey, you know what? You took on Jorge Soler, who is crushing it and has been hitting tons of home runs. You got through Luis Arraez. Yes, you gave up the hit in the RBI, but you put Sam Bachman in a tough position, and he got through it. And then he comes in for a second inning, Mike.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
That second inning, he did get a double play behind him, turned, which was great. Did give up a hit, a walk, and he struck out a guy. Johnny, it feels like Phil Nevin is playing a game of cards, and he's pretending he has a full house when he only has like a pair of twos, you know? And I don't know how to play. I don't know if that's any better than a full house, but I'm assuming that it is. But my point is this. That he wants these guys to go two innings. And you and I have talked often about this bullpen needing guys that can go two innings, needing guys that can actually put in that time. But Phil doesn't have those guys. And all of the rules that he has with the metrics, and we're not sure exactly what is actually required of him right now and what's not, but the rules seem to work against the guys that they have. And the rules seem to work against what Phil wants to actually do. It feels like we are pretending we're a completely different team, but we're still pulling from the bullpen of the Angels. Does that make sense? It just feels we're not using our guys in the most appropriate way. And Phil making these decisions, it looks good at first, but then, as you pointed out, having Bachman go out there for a second inning or having Silseth go out there for a second inning, like, these guys aren't designed for that. We hope that they can actually get there. But sure. I wonder if the metrics are having an impact on that. I'm wondering if some of the directives from the front office, and quite frankly, I wonder if Phil is just trying to stretch these guys into two inning guys, when in reality, that's not who they are. It's who we need, but it's not who we are.
Absolutely. Mike, I said something, and this is more to do with Saturday's game that we're going to talk about in the next segment. But I said on Twitter, it's one of those games that is on Phil Nevin. You have the lead, and you have to do everything you can to keep it. And this was Saturday.
Yeah.
You got to go Devinsky, Moore, Estevez in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And you got to win a game first before you give high leverage spots to the kids. Now, I know Friday wasn't high leverage for Sam Bachman. The Angels obviously were down in this one, and they gave him the chance to go out there and get multiple innings. So I understand him trying to eat innings up. And obviously Bachman has been a starter down in the minors, so he has the ability to go multiple innings. But in the second inning, he pitched. He had a double play behind him, a hit, a walk, and a strikeout. So he got through it again, but we don't have those pieces, like you said. He's playing with, like, I loved how you said, a pair of twos. He's trying to bluff everybody.
Yeah.
Now, before we get to Saturday night's game, I do have to say that Gio Urshela has been on fire this weekend.
He
went 3-for-4 on Friday night. Trout had an RBI single. Brandon Drury got his 8th home run, but the Angels came up short in this one. But we got to put this series behind us. Obviously, we're going to talk about games 2 and 3 and what happened there. But just to let everyone know, the Angels are playing the White Sox today at 5:10 Pacific time. You can catch every pitch of the Angels hometown broadcast on SiriusXM with the SXM app. Just search Angels. And coming up on Locked On Angels, I made that comment about going from Estevez to Moore to, or I should say, I made that comment about going from Davinsky to Moore to Estevez on Saturday night, but we didn't find out till after that Moore was hurt. So right. Are we nervous about this bullpen with Matt Moore being out for what might be a month or more? We're going to talk about that coming right up.
Locked On Angels is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious snack, but you don't want all the sugar and calories, then you need the best tasting protein bar ever. Built, you got to try this. Built Bars are healthy and taste amazing. And what makes Built Bars so good? They're covered in 100% real chocolate, and they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait to get a box. For years, we've been telling you to order from built.com, but now you can actually get your Built Bars from the local Walmart or Sam's Club while they all have those specialty flavors at built.com. So head to your nearest Walmart today, walk up to the pharmacy section, and you can grab yourself a box of Built Bars. They have a 4-bar box there, cookies and cream, double chocolate bar, coconut puff, all the good ones are there. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, you can run in and get a 13-bar box with all their hit flavors, brownie batter puff and churro puff. They're all delicious. You can thank me later. Built Bars and Built Puffs. You got to try this.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Locked On Everydayers, don't forget that you can join us every day this week as we recap the series against the White Sox. Hey, we're trying to get above 15 wins in the month of May, and we've only got 3 games to do that before the end of the month. So catch this start of the road series against Chicago at 5:10 p.m. Pacific time. You can catch every pitch of the Angels hometown broadcast on SiriusXM with the SXM app. Just search Angels.
Well, Friday was a loss, and so Saturday we actually were hopeful with Shohei Ohtani on the mound that perhaps the Angels would be really competitive in this game and maybe get a win and actually tie the series. And unfortunately for the Angels, it didn't actually land in Shohei's hands. It was later on in the innings where everything kind of fell apart. They lose
where it didn't land in Moniak's hands is what happened.
It didn't. And there you go. That's what happened. Really, was the defense kind of fell apart in that 10th inning. Moniak drops a fly ball in left field and it causes a run to score. But John, here's the thing. It was 5-4, and the next batter, the Angels get a tailor-made double play. Oh. And so it was Theis at home and then throwing it down to first base out of the inning, 5-4. We can get that run back. We got the ghost runner. Mm-hmm. Let's go, right? And then the Marlins challenge it. And come to find out, Theis was just really quick with his footwork and he didn't touch home plate. And usually they give you that kind of like in the area sort of move at second base, but they do not give you that at home plate. And so Theis misses it. And then we're in this position now where we got to have another out. We got to get another out, right? And then that's when everything just kind of falls apart. Jaime Barilla comes in. By the way, none of the runs charged to Jaime were earned runs. So his ERA actually didn't change at all. All of the 4 runs that the Marlins scored in the 10th inning were unearned runs. And here's the really unfortunate news. That bottom of the inning, the Angels got the 5th run.
Right.
So they would have tied the game and it would have gone into 11 innings if they didn't actually get the run in that inning, a 6th run, right? And so this is just kind of indicative of what the Angels have done all year. They have been this team that has been leading the league in unearned runs. They've led the league in errors, and they're not getting the outs that they need to get.
No.
And Mickey Moniak's catch was a very catchable catch. It was a long run, but it was one of those moments where you're like, you gotta haul that in, homie. You mm-hmm. gotta haul that in. And then mm-hmm. the double play, the Angels pitchers are getting outs, and then the defense is just failing them. And we had about a week and a half where this didn't happen, and then that bugaboo came back and it bit us on Saturday, didn't it?
Mike, here's the thing. You mentioned Matt Theis's footwork being fast. He was still in the crouch position because it was a comebacker on the ground, obviously, to Jaime Barilla, and Jaime with a heads-up play threw it to home, and Theis threw it to first, and he's not on the plate. Like, oh my gosh, it's just the worst thing I've ever seen. Can I tell you a funny story? I was watching the game, And I was getting ready to put the dog to bed. I take him outside to do his business. It usually takes a while. I come back in and I see it's 8-4. What the heck happened? And so I had to click back on the player to see what in the world happened. And I found out the unfortunate truth. And you're right. They were able to come back and get that run in the bottom of the 10th, and it would have tied at 5-5, and the game would not have gotten out of hand the way that it did. And here's something else that we need to consider, Mike. Otani pitched really well in this one. I mean, he labored through it, and he got through 6 innings pitched, and he only gave up 2 runs on 6 hits and had 10 strikeouts.
Right.
And then offensively, the Angels had a lot of chances to score and didn't come through. And I saw a lot of people criticizing Otani about, like, well, he's got to get out of this slump and da-da-da-da-da. And here's what I noticed, Mike. When he took a walk after he was done pitching, you know what he did? He stole second base.
Yeah.
So even though Otani is slumping at the plate, he's still creating havoc. He kept the Angels in this game with a surrendering 2 runs only through 6 innings. And that's when I tweeted out, you've got to go to Devinsky, Moore, and Estevez. Now, I didn't know that Moore was injured. We had no news of that beforehand. And you know why?
No word at all.
Because the doctors don't talk to the media. Sam Blum just had an article put out and once again reiterated that the new policy is that none of the coaching staff, the hitting staff, the medical staff are allowed to talk to the media.
You have a policy. The Gullick Genius has a policy.
It's state-run media, like we always say.
Yeah.
And so I understand people were frustrated, but I have to reiterate that Otani kept the Angels in the game. Yes, his bat wasn't working the way it was, but when he was done pitching, he was still trying to create havoc by stealing second base and putting himself in scoring position. But it comes down to the rest of the guys too, and they had tons of chances to score and didn't come through. Gio Urshela had a home run, which tied the game up in the 8th, and Matt Moore is on the IL with an oblique injury, and so we found out late Saturday night, that they were going to put him on the IL, and Ben Joyce is coming up. And the oblique injury is a grade 2 strain, and we saw some information. A grade 1 strain takes about a month to heal, so this one might even take even longer, which makes me feel really nervous about this bullpen. But all of that, somebody also was talking about Otani. I said, listen, once you have the lead, all of that goes out the window, whether Otani hit well or not. The Angels were up 3-2, I believe, once he left the game.
Yeah.
And once you have that lead, you hang on to that lead. You don't run Chase Silseth out there 2 innings in a row when he's clearly struggling and also dealing with some sort of like leg issue. You saw that he was really grumbling out there because it felt like he was very uncomfortable out there. And we like Chase Silseth, and he's been great out of the bullpen. But you just have to be able to identify when somebody doesn't have it. And I understand Moore wasn't in the bullpen, and we had no idea. Fans didn't have any idea. Beat writers didn't have any idea. So you've got to get creative with your choices. I guess Silseth makes the most sense there. But then you bring him out again. And I just, this again, to me, we are not nitpicky about Nevin. And I know people like to blame Nevin for every single thing that goes wrong. I feel like that we are pretty reasonable when we blame Nevin. Saturday was 100% on Nevin. I think it was absolutely insane the way that it went down. But considering this bullpen issue, are you happy with his decisions, or what do you think of his decisions? And how do you feel now that Matt Moore is not going to be in there?
Well, talking about Saturday, Silseth actually gave up the run in the first inning he was in, and then he got back out there. So technically he made kind of a mess of things in that first inning. And then the second inning, when he came back out there, he actually got through it. And so that's why I don't think that this would technically be on Phil Nevin. And then we ended up tying the game. I just think that.
But he was hurt. Like, clearly he was hurt. He was all over the place.
That's my point is I just think that we're in a position where, you know, now Matt Moore's out and he's going to be out for a month or two. And that just causes all sorts of concern and all sorts of nerves. Right. Mm-hmm. And the fact that if we lose this one guy, suddenly we're all nervous and we're scared and we're anxious about this bullpen tells me that there's a lot of work to be done there. Right.
Yeah.
And so bringing in Ben Joyce, I love that. However, Ben Joyce, as Lindsey Crosby said on this show, and he tweeted it out when Ben Joyce was called up, hasn't pitched back-to-back days.
Yeah.
And this bullpen desperately needs guys who pitch back-to-back days. Right.
Yeah.
And so I like Ben Joyce a lot. I'm wondering if he was the right move, because if you look at double A right now, there's a few guys that are crushing it down there. Mm-hmm. And I think that there probably could have been a better option.
Yeah, you lost a lefty. Why not bring up another lefty?
And that's the thing. Like, I again, it goes back to what we said in the first segment, the two inning mindset. Ben Joyce is not going to go two innings. He's not going to do that.
He's done it once this season.
Or he's not going to go back to back days, right?
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
There's enough guys in AAA and in AA that can come up and fulfill that role. Again, it just feels like we're pretending that this bullpen is this when it's actually that.
So as we get to Sunday's game, it was another frustrating outing because Patrick Sandoval pitched very well. The Angels only lost 2-0.
Yeah.
It's the first time they've been shut out all season, Mike. Can you believe it? Going back to last season, the Angels had not been shut out at all for about, what was it, 90-something day or games or something crazy like that?
Yeah,
like,
it was a really high number. I don't have it in front of me.
But basically what really is important here is they hadn't been shut out all 2023.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time they were shut out. So they're swept by the Marlins. And you and I talked about this Marlins series a little bit last weekend. And I said, hey, you know what? Edward Cabrera, he might be a challenge. I had him on my fantasy team. He hadn't really hit a stride this season. Then, of course, the minute I drop him in fantasy, he goes out and does this on Friday. Yeah, right. Or I should say Saturday. It was Jesus Luzardo on Friday who I thought was going to be the challenge. But then, yeah, Edward Cabrera does really well on Saturday. And then Yuri Perez does really well. The guy's tall. He's 20 years old.
6'8". I didn't realize he was that tall. Man, that guy is towering on the mound. Randy Johnson, right-handed.
Yes, exactly. And so we ran into some really good pitching against the Marlins. And I think that the Angels had a bit of luck not facing some tougher pitching with Boston when they came into town. And so we really met our match this weekend. And it's going to happen. And, and to be honest, like, the Marlins have a very good young core developing. They got some veterans, but they have some really good young players on this team who are making up the future of the Marlins. So it is the first sweep that the Angels have encountered this year. I'm hopeful that they can take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. They still need 2 more games, I believe, in order to keep that 15-win pace.
I do.
And the White Sox are struggling right now. In fact, I think to be encouraged for those of us who are discouraged, our friend Stefan Muma has an update for us on Twitter, and it was the 9-game chunks of the season that the Angels have gone through so far. They have played exactly 6 9-game sets so far. So the first set of 9 games, they went 5-4. The second set, they went 4-5. The third set, they went 5-4. The fourth set, they went 6-3. The fifth set, they went 3-6. And the sixth set, they went 5-4. So they're 2 games off from a 90-win pace. We're hoping that they can make up for that before the end of the month. So let's talk about Sunday's game, because there were some more moments that were very frustrating, right?
Yeah, and what was kind of the story of the weekend is the Angels had opportunities to win, John. And that's the thing I think that was probably most frustrating. I would say maybe Friday night they didn't, but Saturday for sure, and then Sunday for sure, even if it was the last batter of the game. Trout had 2 outs with runners at 2nd and 3rd. Renfroe and Neto are on the bag. And Trout didn't come through. And I know that there's a narrative about how he's not clutch and all of those things. And there's numbers that say that he is, and there's numbers that say that Ohtani is. And anytime you say anything about these guys, people are like, I can't wait until Ohtani gets off the team because you're complaining about him. Listen, Yankee fans complain about Aaron Judge. Padre fans complain about Juan Soto. I mean, these guys are great. We love having them on our team. But these are the moments that they have to come through. And Mike Trout has to come through in that moment. And I know that he didn't have a bad weekend, but this is game on the line. This is what we need Trout to come through on. At least he didn't strike out, and that was the good news. It was a little flare into right field, but it just couldn't get past Arraez at second base. But again, this team had opportunity to win, John. They had opportunity to score some runs, and they squandered those opportunities. And Sandoval He actually pitched really well in this game. 6 innings, 8 hits, yeah. 2 runs, 2 Ks. I find it interesting that he's not striking out a bunch of guys this year compared to what he did last year. But it looks like he's a bit more consistent in the strike zone, and he's actually not laboring in games, which is good. I love that little behind-the-back catch that he made, and then he dove for the other catch. He played really great defense. And so I guess if we had to summarize this weekend, it was that the Angels just were not able to come through when they needed to come through. They could have won 2 out of 3, and they weren't able to win 2 out of 3. And unfortunately, those moments where they could have come through and they didn't cost them the game.
It's fundamentals, Mike, and they're not fun, and they are mental, because the Angels right now are just awful. Phil Nevin said after the game, it's not a good taste in our mouth, obviously, with the way the homestand was going. At the end of the day, we won more than we lost. Come on, Phil. But not what we were setting out to do after what we'd accomplished.
Yeah.
We didn't play our best this weekend. That's no secret. They're 28 and 26, and they fall behind the Mariners in the standings.
Yeah.
Mike, there were so many moments where they just looked so unaware of what should be happening on the field. A good example is you think about Mike Trout running from first to second. Ball gets to Luis Arraez. He tags Trout. Throws to first, double play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Same thing happens again
on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was Drury running up the line.
I think it was Drury and Renfroe or something like that. Yeah, Drury at least, yes.
I think it was Drury. And I think it was Patrick O'Neill who suggested, why don't they stop?
Right.
Why, like, draw the tag or draw the throw.
Yeah.
Don't run into it. Don't let him tag you into a double play. And I gave Patrick a round of applause because it was like, yes, of course, stop so they have to chase you, and you can at least get the guy from home plate to first.
Two or three more seconds allows that to happen, right? Either they have to actually throw to second base or try to chase you down, and it gives that guy running to first more time. Mm-hmm. That seems logical. It's also when you have a ground ball to shortstop and you're at second base, you stop and you wait so that you don't get tagged. But it seemed like the Angels, talk about fundamentals, that's just a fundamental play. Like that's just a baseball play. And the fact that they're just chugging down to second base, I don't understand what their thought is there. Yeah. I don't understand why they were even doing that. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. The play is right in front of you when the ball is hit to Luis Arraez, and it's just a lack of situational awareness. It's just a lack of awareness all around. Mike, we say it all the time that these kind of mistakes are on Phil Nevin as the manager. And then you got to think about like the coaching staff. I know everybody said, Benji Gill. Well, Benji Gill is the infield coach where all the mistakes are happening. So what do we do about that? I don't know. So I really wish that these guys would just tighten it up, because when they lose, it's not because, for the most part, they're getting outplayed. I think Jesus Luzardo was fantastic on Friday. That was a worthy win from the Marlins. But then you think about these last two games on Saturday and Sunday, the Angels beat themselves.
Yep.
Once again, they have to clean it up. And I said this 2 weeks ago, Mike, and then I think we said this last month. Is this who this team is? Because they just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Well, thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now, the Angels are going to turn the page, and as fans, we're going to turn the page too. Nothing we can do about that Marlins series. They're heading to Chicago today, and they're playing at 5:10 Pacific time. The White Sox are about 10 games under 500. They've lost 3 in a row, and so hopefully the Angels can take advantage of that. You can catch every pitch of the Angels' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Just search Angels.
Hey, give us a follow at Locked On Angels on Twitter and at Super Halo Bros on Twitter and Instagram. We'd love to connect with you there. If you have any thoughts and you want to comment below the video on YouTube, please do so. We really appreciate the engagement. If you're listening on the audio side, come join us on YouTube and comment below. Be part of the conversation. Mike, what do we have on deck for tomorrow's show?
Let's talk about Ben Joyce and what kind of expectations we can actually have for him. I know we're expecting him to come in and just be incredibly dominant, but let's temper our expectations and talk about who this guy is and what he actually can do tomorrow on Locked On Angels.
We will be around for that conversation tomorrow, so we hope that you'll join us. Until then, my name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On Angels, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow.